Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete. And here's your host, Pete Chiarella, only on Jackalope Radio.
All right, it's Friday night. We're back on the air. I have a special guest, but before I bring them on, another one of our great character actors unfortunately passed away a day or so ago. Ed Lauder, 73 years old. Everybody knew Ed. He's got one of the most familiar faces around. I think he was last on the Showtime series Shameless. He was in another teen movie, Death Wish 3, Magnificent Seven Ride, all kinds of stuff, Death Hunt. He's just been like all over the map since he's been in the New Centurion since the early 70s and stuff. Another guy who left us way too soon, great character actor, and will be sorely missed. But let me bring on our guest tonight. Her name is Bruiser. She's from the Cleveland area. She does a lot of events that, you know, are dedicated to help the local charities and stuff. So let me bring her on, and she'll tell you all about herself. So welcome to the show, Bruiser.
Hi, how are you guys?
Oh, we're just great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, despite the weather, it's pretty nice, but all this rain just reminds me that we're closer to Halloween, the best holiday ever. For me, a lifestyle, like many of you freaks and ghouls out there. Can I tell them about some of the awesome events and special guests that I have coming?
Sure, that's what you're here for.
Right. Let's see. On the 27th of this month, we have a Night of Grotesque Burlesque, McCarthy's downtown, which is in the Flats area. And we are terribly, terribly stoked for this one. We don't do normal, frilly, glittery, foo-foo burlesque or vaudeville. We like to call ourselves vaudeval. We tend to use blood and scabs, and we have zombies and all that kind of fun stuff. So if you're into that, the show was totally for you. We have Janet J., Janet DK, the daughter of the ghoul, coming. She is just an amazing little yummy mummy. She's going to help us host the show and help us with our costume contest that we're having, and we are just tickled bloody red to have her. Let's see, we also have a wonderful drag queen coming out who is going to piss a lot of people off and offend a lot of people, which we just love.
Oh, yeah.
Calavera Candy. If you know her, you know it's going to be something else to be seen. Us girls have been working very hard on this show, and we just got to say that we're so excited to be doing it. On the 31st, on Halloween night, we're going to have our Heaven and Hell party where everyone can get completely sinful. That's going to be at the Foundry. And that was a very special show for us because we are trying to collect and raise money for the Coats for Kids Foundation because we know it is balls to the wall cold here in Cleveland, anywhere in Ohio, and unfortunately a lot of kids don't have coats, and we figured, you know, what a great way to get these drunk half-naked idiots to come to our party and give away a coat. You know, so it's like we all benefit off of it, and we plan on having an amazing time. Let me see. So for the 31st, we have amazing bands coming, not just bands, but performers, burlesque as well. So there's actually something for everyone to do, and it's free. Unless you're under 21, it's $3. But, I mean, it's $3 to hang out and have an amazing time, see some bloody burlesque, some amazing performers of different types, and awesome local bands. So, I mean, you can't really go wrong with that. I mean, in my opinion, I don't know about anyone else's, but
no,
you really
can't. I mean, where can you go for $3? And the other one, the Grotesque Burlesque, what is it, $5 to get in?
Yeah, it is. I forget that. It's just $5 to get in, and we're actually having a best costume contest and worst costume contest. So if you've got a costume idea that is offensive, vulgar, rude, lewd, wear it, and you could win some amazing prizes. And I mean, it's just going to be a great show, and it's Service Industry Night in McCarthy's as well. So you can get bottled beer for $2, drinks 3 to 4. So I mean, you'll actually have a really good time there and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm going to show up too. Maybe I'll help judge the costume contest or something like that.
You know, we would love that. We would totally love that. I think you and Janet would hit the nail on the head with that.
Oh yeah, I know Janet a long time. She's actually one of the few people who actually wore the 42nd Street Pete T-shirt on Facebook. Everybody else was, oh, I don't want to be seen in that, but I want the free fucking shirt. So no, but she actually wore it. And you know, she's very cool. And you know, you found me on Facebook, I think, when I first moved up here, and you got me involved in the whole zombie walk thing, where you were basically raising a lot of food for the food bank in Cleveland when you were doing that.
Oh yes, we had a blast having you. I mean, what other man will put his life on the line with the brain in a jar and lead hundreds of zombies to their demise? I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah.
I had so many people ask me about you, and then I got to do trivia at Cinema Wasteland with you, and that was a real kicker.
Yeah.
So anyone that was at Cinema Wasteland, I was the poor girl chugging the 32-ounce PBR on stage. I got a free T-shirt out of the whole ordeal, so it's not like I walked away empty-handed.
Yeah, and you actually knew who Emilio Fernandez was, you know?
Well, I'm a sexy Mexi. Why wouldn't I know who he is?
It's amazing, because every time I bring that guy's name up, and it was funny because I was working in New York, and it was three stock boys who were illegals down there, and I just offhandedly mentioned his name from a Peckinpah film, and they went, oh my God, they crossed themselves, El Indio. So I'm gathering he was, you know, from what I've read about him, what I've, you know, seen, he was one bad motherfucker, I'll tell you that.
Right. I'm trying to think of the other guy's name, Danny Trevo. He reminds me of him in some ways. Just an all out, you know, lovable guy that you want to see in more films that's starting to get more recognition and you know, bring a little more out in the Latino community, if will be. When you had that question up there, I was like, I'm a little drunk, but I know this answer.
Yeah.
So I felt very proud of myself.
Yeah, you didn't do bad for the first time up. You know,
I didn't think I did too bad. Unfortunately, the fellow next to me that knew all the porn questions had me completely beat. I don't get to watch very much porn, but I must have seen one or two along the way because I have two kids.
Yeah, well, it was frightening that he admitted he knew what a rainbow shower was. he even emailed me, and he goes, I can't believe I actually said that. And I'm like, I can't believe you knew what the fuck that thing really was. And then, of course, we had that.
He seemed very proud that he knew the answers, even though he was, quote-unquote, ashamed. He his extensive porn knowledge, you know, I don't know if he has a girlfriend or a wife, but that kind of excessive knowledge, he's got to be a tiger in the bedroom.
Oh, here's
I mean, I know I am.
Yeah, it's like, there wasn't that many. You said somebody was actually offended by the vagina tied in knots that they put up there?
How could you be offended by a vagina tied in knots? I mean, it's just a vagina tied in knots. It's funny.
Yeah. I know. I tell people, I have no clue what they're going to throw up there, because that would throw the whole thing off. And plus, sometimes my reaction is actually worse than what's up there. Especially when they put the kindergarten picture of me up there at the end. That really, fuck, I'm like, holy fuck. What the fuck?
I saw that and I was like, so he was a child at one point.
Yeah, hard to believe.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, you know, you were a little 42nd Street Pete.
Yeah, That was a Catholic school picture.
Oh, Jesus.
Which probably explains a fucking lot right about now, you know?
I mean, were your parents cool? Were they the ones that got you into the whole horror movie genre, or was that just something that you had to stumble upon on your own?
No, it was basically, that was a no-no. You were in Catholic school. You weren't allowed to see that shit. As a matter of fact, I got an infamous story that they were running the Universal stuff on, like, mid-afternoon TV, like, after we got out of school, and we had notes to bring home from the Mother Superior or whatever the fuck it was, that we shouldn't be allowed to watch this shit, which, you know, of course, made me want to watch it even more. So I basically snuck up in the attic and found an old TV and played with the rabbit ears until I actually got to see Frankenstein. So it was pretty, you know, people don't realize how good it is today, because it was pretty puritanical back then, because I remember them ripping up my Monster magazine in front of the class. A Monster magazine I might add that goes for probably about $1,000 right about now. So, yeah.
That could have put you through college. I mean, who knows where you'd be now?
I know. I'd actually be making money instead of sitting in this office doing this radio show, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. My mom was actually really, really cool when it came to us kids watching scary movies. I can seriously remember the first scary movie that my mom sat down with my brother and I to watch was Silver Bullet. And, like, werewolves and priests terrified me for years. You know, and I remember the whole thing that my brother got out of the whole movie after we watched it. My mom was like, "Are you okay to go to bed on your own? Are you going to be scared? Do you need to turn the light on?" And my little brother looks at me and goes, "We should start recycling." Because of all the cans in the priest's garage, that's the only thing he got out of it. Me, I'm a couple years older than him, and I'm like, "I'm never going to go back to church because all the priests are werewolves and they're going to fucking eat me. Fuck recycling. Who cares?" But it was my first scary movie, and I watched it years and years later with my daughter, and she fucking loved it. So now her obsession with werewolves is terribly extensive. So I think I'm raising them right. I think I'm doing something right by doing so.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know, the whole way I got around it was, we weren't allowed to see monster movies, but we were allowed to see Abbott and Costello. And one Saturday afternoon, they had Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein on. So I'm like, okay, we can do this. So I was like, Abbott and Costello's on? Well, yeah, well, just wait till we're done watching. We're watching. Okay, so I caught it at the climactic ending, and they're like, "Oh, there was monsters in this." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, it's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein." And they're like, "Oh, I guess it's okay." So that sort of like opened the door a little bit more for me to get away with shit. But see, the topper was, you know, everybody has, like, you know, if you grew up with VHS, you use VHS as a babysitter. If you grew up with DVDs, you use DVDs as a babysitter. We didn't grow up with any of that shit. So we had to go to what was called the kiddie matinee on a Saturday, which was basically the babysitter, because for a dollar, they drop you off. It was 50 cents to get in, 50 cents for soda and popcorn. You got two movies, three Warner Brothers cartoon, and a Three Stooges short. But they never knew what the two movies were. So the first one we went to was Curse of Frankenstein, Horror of Dracula. And I told my little brother, I said, "Don't you ever fucking say we saw this shit or we're screwed." So every Saturday we got dropped off. You know, sometimes you had to sit through with Disney double features. Sometimes you had to sit through with a Jerry Lewis double feature. But, like, hey, I saw both Creature from the Black Lagoon movies up on the big screen as a matinee. So it was all cool shit. They just kept, you know, they were recycling, you know, what they thought was the old black and white stuff. But you know what ended the kiddie matinees?
What ended the kiddie matinees?
Night of the Living Dead. Because the people who booked the kiddie matinees, and I always said, God bless their irresponsible little hearts, just figured it was another black and white horror movie. Well, that basically flatlined
the
little kids.
Little did they know.
Oh, yeah. So all of a sudden, little ways after that, there weren't no more kiddie matinees. So that's what flatlined
that's
the whole
terrible
thing.
Because I would love to have a place where I could drop my kids off for, you know, $1 to $3 for a couple hours on a Saturday. I mean, that's quality parenting. You're exposing them to culture.
Yeah, but, you know, the whole thing was, you wouldn't dare do that today at any movie theater for fear that the kid might be snatched. But we got dumped off at a shitty fucking grindhouse in an inner city, and nobody bothered us. Because it was, you know, that type of thing, you know?
I was reading an interview that John Waters had done, and I love how people ask him questions that they think are going to shock him. And they asked him, you know, questions about theater and where he had watched movies when he was a kid, you know, and if he ever got the barf bag, because some, you know, they don't promote movies the way that they used to. It's so cookie cutter and so... Oh, God, it's so housewife and wedding cake. I fucking hate it. I mean, whatever happened to the days when you can go to a movie and get fake puke or a barf bag, or they would have, you know, quote-unquote nurses standing by so that, you know, in case someone fainted or had a severe seizure because it was so scary. You know, they don't do that anymore. And Ed, you know, John Waters was talking about how that little hippodrome theater that he grew up going to, he said it was just as amazing as it was when you are. And I always think to myself, like, man, it would just be so amazing to get to go to a theater like that and it actually be the theater experience. Because I feel like you get ripped off now when you go to a movie. You don't have that whole experience that you had, you know, when guys like you got to go when you were young, and it's sad. So things like Cinema Wasteland, you know, and people like Janet Jay, Daughter of the Ghoul, plus her little Undead Heart, you guys keep things like that alive and going because, you know, if it wasn't for you, good horror would be extinct and forgotten, and that's just a fucking tragedy. It's sad.
Yeah, and we actually show real films up there, 16mm films. We show, you know, we show them, you know, constantly, you know, from the minute the door opens on Friday night to the minute we close Sunday afternoon. There's a film running somewhere. You know, this time we had, you know, and we mix it up. It's not all horror. We had Projected Man, we had Frogs, we had Barquero, we had Mother Jugs and Speed. We had all kinds of great grindhouse shit going. And, you know, we're keeping it going. That's another thing we got to talk about, because me and Ken got a road show we put together. We got, between me, him, and another guy, we probably have 60 features. And some of the stuff's never been shown. Some of the shit's never even been shown on DVD yet. So we got some good stuff. So maybe down the road. Maybe down the road we can hook something up. You know, we got the projectors, we got all this shit. Plus, Ken likes to put together intermission reels with all kinds of weird shit on them, too.
Yes, he does. I think us Rust Belt Honeys would totally be down for doing something like that with you guys. I just want to get my sticky fingers into the wasteland next year and do some more fun events. But won't be as intoxicated when I'm on stage. Almost as, but not as much. Because during Miss Cinema Wasteland, there was a really nice girl, Brandy's mom won, and Brandy was handing us this delicious passion fruit tequila slush. And my girlfriend and I decided we were going to drink with her, and I don't know too much about Miss Cinema Wasteland contest, but us three had to get off stage immediately because we were instantly wasted.
Oh, yeah.
Could not do it. Had to get off stage. But it was a ride. It was great watching older women than myself eating a popsicle while being forced to hula hoop. I mean, it was classic. It was grade A entertainment at its best.
And it only happens once a year at the October show. Then she must carry the crown for the whole year, where you'll be refused service in the worst bars in the whole country. You know, you'll be ostracized by your peers. But that's part of being Miss Cinema Wasteland. You get the dollar store Burger King crown and the plunger sepulcher. So,
I would embrace it. I'd have to show it off. I'd have to go around town with it. I have no shame as is. So, I mean, I'm gonna shoot for it next year. I mean, who knows? I don't know what I have to do to win, but I'm willing to go there to win.
Whatever Ghastly thinks. Whatever fucked up thing that Ghastly thinks up. I mean, one time they were tossing cocktail franks in each other's mouths. So, yeah, it's you never know. I'm working on some perverse thing for April right about now. You know, I'm not going to let on what that is. I'm just going to, it'll just shock the whole crowd. So, you know, we just try to keep it going and make it as sleazy as humanly possible for that show. You got a Magic Pony shirt, right?
Yes, I do have a Magic Pony shirt.
Yeah, see?
And I also got the Keep Calm, Take Carrie to the Prom, which is a beautiful white shirt, and the bottom of the letters on Carrie is dripping blood, so I'm going to wear that tomorrow to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre musical Great production. If you guys get to see it and you want to support your local theater, check it out. Their event, they have an event page on Facebook. It's at Blank Canvas Theater. It's $15. And if you get there early, you can sit in the splatter zone. And I am telling you, if you sit in the first two front rows, I guarantee you will be blood-soaked, drenched. There's no better feeling than during intermission when you walk outside and there's an unknowing wedding party going on, and they all look at you like, what the fuck's wrong with those people? And you tell them, oh, I was just at Texas Chainsaw Massacre the musical and got splattered with blood. Let me give your bride a hug. So if you get to check that out, by all means do it. It is a fucking amazing production, and I mean, what better way to start off your Halloween season than with Leatherface?
Oh yeah, definitely. Why don't you put over Grotesque Burlesque again? Tell people where it's going to be and, you know, whatever.
Yes. Us Rust Belt Honeys, you can find us on Facebook. That's Rust Belt Honeys, H-O-N-E-Y-S. I am Bruiser Her Sweet Bottoms. You can find me there as well. We're going to have a Night of Grotesque Burlesque October 27th, which is a Sunday service industry night, $2 beer night, and it's going to be a bloody, gory, amazing undead burlesque show that is going to be hosted by Janet Decay, the daughter of the Ghoul, your yummy mummy, and we're so fucking proud to have her, and we hope that all of you come out. It's $5, just $5, just to make us happy. Pasties aren't free.
True.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, so we hope that you come, and we want you to come too, Pete. I mean, bring your sexy self.
I'll definitely try to. I'm 100% positive I'm going to be there. So we'll put that in there. I'll definitely get there some way, shape, or form, and join the festivities. Maybe like help judge the costume contest or whatever you guys want me to do. You know.
Yeah. So we would love that.
That should be very.
We would
cool.
love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be amazing. It should be awesome.
Yeah, so, and then, like I say, a lot of the stuff, you know, the Rust Belt Honeys do is to benefit, you know, charities in Cleveland, you know, the food bank and stuff like that, you know, the zombie walk at it, you know, kicking a can of food or something, you know, of equal or greater value to get involved, but, you know, it all goes to a good cause, so you guys do a lot for the community.
It does.
Too.
Yeah, we're doing a lot. Like I said, the Halloween show on Halloween night at the Foundry, our Heaven and Hell, is also our charity for the Coats for Kids. So it is free unless you're under 21, it's $3. But bring a gently used or brand new coat because there's a kid out there that needs it and they will greatly appreciate it. And the karma will come back to you. It's a great organization and we really want to help these kids out. And what better way than having people come dressed in sleazy Halloween costumes and bring in a coat for them? I mean, we all win.
It's all a win-win situation. Actually, you know, you're doing better than what the fucking government's been doing lately, because at least you're getting something done, where they're getting absolutely nothing done. So, you know, rest on that. We got, you know, it's like I keep telling people, we got to learn to take care of each other, because we can't rely on them to do anything for us. They suck. So,
united we stand, divided we fall, brother.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I guess we're almost out of time now, so I will thank you, Bruiser, for coming on and, you know, sharing this event with us, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again. And that's Grotesque Burlesque. That's Grotesque Burlesque, and I'm going to make it a point to be there. So I guess until next week, you guys stay sick, and we'll see you then.
Short and Sweet with 42nd Street Pete. Only on Jackalope Radio.
with the track.